Hey everybody, Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio here. Thanks for tuning in to the 11-3, November 3rd, you believe it already? November 3rd, 2013, Armed American Radio National Broadcast. A great program. In the studio with me, pro-gun attorney John Monroe. In addition to John Monroe, Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition, joins me for a quick segment on very short notice as he's rushing through an airport to talk about his testimony in front of Dick Durbin and the rest of the Democrat gun haters in their phony, and I say phony for real, Stand Your Ground hearing held in Washington last week. George the Mad Ogre, David Kodria join me, phone calls, Shanto, and more. Enjoy the broadcast, and I'll see you on the radio.
Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters. It's a pleasure to fill your prescription for freedom here today on the Armed American Radio Network. Armed American Radio, what a great name for a radio show. This hour promises to be thought-provoking and fairly intense. We're going to talk with you a little bit about the recent phony political theater grandstanding that occurred in Washington, D.C. this past week, as if that's not a daily occurrence in that town anymore. The one-upsmanship that's being played in Washington, but this time it's about your self-defense rights, the basic human right you have to defend your life anywhere you happen to be. There is a segment of our society that would like you not to be able to defend your life when you're outside your home. It's okay if you're in your house, but no, not if you step outside the house. Somehow your right to life stops when you walk off your porch step and out the door and off your property. And Senator Dick Durbin chaired a state, you know, Dick Durbin had a little hearing this past week about called it Stand Your Ground, something that doesn't even fall under the jurisdiction of the federal government because these are state laws. Dr. John Lott, economist, author of More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition. Fantastic book. If you don't have it, you have to get it. Read it, and you'll understand why. But Dr. John Lott, I understand we've got him for just a very short period of time, so we're going to go to him right now. Dr. John Lott, welcome back to the show, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Great to talk to you.
Okay, John, you testified. I'm going to turn it over to you. You testified spoke to this committee in front of them this week, and I have to say this. Why were you talking to a Senate committee about Stand Your Ground when it's a state's issue, and can you give us the gist quickly of what you let them know?
All right. Well, I mean, on your first point, I don't know, I think we've long, unfortunately, gotten past the point of what the federal government should do and what the state should do. I mean, it's not like there are too many laws that you can point to these days that kind of recognize what power states have. Federal government pretty much gets involved with whatever it wants to anymore. So, you know, given that, federal politicians saw, something that they could get involved with in order to try to make a political statement. And, gun control is, just one area where they feel that they have to speak out on. Unfortunately, this whole hearing was a little bit surreal in the sense that, it just showed to me how far people are willing to go to kind of grasp onto anything to justify new gun control regulations. And you also had a situation where you had two women who had tragically lost their sons. I mean, I can't imagine what it'd be like for anybody to lose a child under any circumstances, whether it's justified or not. But their testimony really has nothing to do with Stand Your Ground laws.
Yeah.
And yet they were being put forward by Democrats as some way of trying to justify the supposed racial implications of Stand Your Ground laws. I mean, here's the basic point, and that is, if you look at it, blacks benefit more than others do as a group from Stand Your Ground laws. And the reason is very simple, and that is what you find is that poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas are much more likely to be victims of violent crime. Everybody knows that. And they also benefit more from owning guns to be able to protect themselves because the police, even though they're extremely important in stopping crime, just can't be there all the time. And so if you look at Florida, for example, blacks make about 16% of the population, but they make up about 31% of the people who avail themselves of Stand Your Ground laws. And you find that blacks are much more likely than whites to be acquitted when they use Stand Your Ground as a defense. I don't know how you can get around those things. Often what's focused on here is that they'll say that if you kill a black, the probability of conviction is lower than if somebody kills a white. And somehow that's taken as evidence of discrimination. There are a couple points to make out. One, the simplest one, is just that it's not whites who are killing blacks or blacks who are killing whites. Almost all these murders for both groups are within racial groups. You have over 91% of blacks who are killed by other blacks and 84% of whites who are killed by other whites. And so, if you just take the logic there, that also means that most of the people who are being found innocent because of Stand Your Ground are blacks when you're talking about the killings of other blacks. But even that's too simple because that's assuming that all these cases are identical. If you go and look through the Tampa Bay Tribune data set that they put together, if you're looking at the shootings of blacks, the blacks in those cases were much more likely to be armed. People who were being shot had guns themselves. They were also much more likely to be involved in crimes that were being committed at the time of the shooting. And, they were more likely to have witnesses there. And, there's a whole strange list of other things that I could point out that show that these cases weren't the same. So it seems pretty clear that you had black victims who were being threatened by black attackers. And why shouldn't we be concerned with letting people be able to go and defend themselves? But, when you look at the history of these laws were passed by overwhelming Republican and Democratic majorities. These weren't political issues until the last year or so. Both Republicans and Democrats cared about these individuals, these victims, having the ability to go and protect themselves. So in Florida, you had a unanimous vote in the state Senate to go and pass concealed carry. In 2004 in Illinois, when Barack Obama was in the Illinois State Senate, you had a unanimous vote there to go and make the Stand Your Ground law in Illinois much tougher in terms of granting immunity to those who were defending themselves. And yet, somehow, bizarrely, this has turned into political football and a racial issue when, if anything, the racial evidence strongly points to the opposite direction from what gun control advocates are claiming. And it's really sad because politics being brought into this is going to make it so the most vulnerable people in our society, to the extent that they're able to go and change these laws, they're the ones who are going to be victims.
John, do you get the idea? Because I asked the same question. I watched the testimony. I watched you. Your testimony, as usual, was brilliant. You confound these people. The Tampa Bay Times did everything they could to try to turn the findings of their very good study. I read the study. I'll be referring to it after you have left us here. But you turned it upside down. Do you get the idea that they're trying intentionally to muck this issue up simply to come after our firearms and use this as just yet another tool in the toolbox to do it?
Unfortunately, I think that's the case. I mean, look, if you look at the race of the victims and compare them, see the conviction rates for those, You're telling me that they didn't look at the race of those who were defending themselves? You know, to go only report and make a big deal about the fact that, well, you know, if a black victim is killed, there's not conviction. These guys had to know it's their data. I don't believe for a second that they didn't also go and say, well, you know, that means that blacks who are defending themselves are less likely to get convicted. And so the implication is that, I mean, if you're going to go and argue, as I told the Senate committee, that somehow there's racial discrimination when you look at, say, a black victim, when there's a black victim, you have a lower conviction rate, you say that that's discrimination against blacks. And wouldn't it imply that you have discrimination in favor of blacks somehow? I mean, I'm not saying discrimination is occurring in either case, but discrimination in favor of blacks, that when a black uses self-defense themselves, that they're less likely to get convicted than whites? I mean, you can't, you know, it's just this cherry-picking of right. this data and picking out the one fact that they think will outrage people right. is very sad because, you know, we have too much at stake in terms of people's safety here to turn all these things into political issues.
John, I hate to do it, but we'll have to close right there. You're welcome to stay with us. I'll have Sean talk to you. If you can't, I understand. Right. It sounds like you're rushing through an airport. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Armed American Radio Network. Sean, if you'll talk with John, and John Lott, we'll talk with you soon. Thank you so much, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, from the man who testified in front of that committee himself, John Lott, we'll discuss that when we come back here on Armed American Radio.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300 degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com.
Old Faithful holsters, designed to be as reliable as their Yellowstone National Park namesake. Made from the highest quality American leather and ultra-strong kydex, we use only the most durable materials available and put our 50-year warranty where our mouth is. Have a gun you'd love to carry but can't find a holster? Purchase one of our holster kits and build it yourself. To purchase a fully assembled holster for your carry gun or to build one yourself, visit oldfaithfulholsters.com now.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back indeed. Wow, I want to, first of all, apologize for not being able to have John here for the next 3 weeks, let alone the next segment. It sounded to me, Sean, like he was maneuvering his way through an airport. I know he's been very, very busy lately.
Yeah.
With the Senate hearings and so forth. And John has been kind enough to come on the program on very short notice. In fact, my email exchange with him was at 4:45 in the morning yesterday. So, you know, he is gone out of his way and is a great friend of this show, and I'm proud to say a friend of mine, to be able to bring him here to you so that you can hear from the man who testified in front of Durbin. And I want to make what to me is a disturbing observation, but nonetheless true, that no matter the facts and the 30 years of research, John Monroe here in the studio, no matter the facts that he puts forth, indisputable, confounding to the left that they can only resort to calling him a liar and an idiot, simply because they can't refute that argument that he makes based on the data sets that he used and the conclusions that he draws, he was nothing more than a checkbox to Dick Durbin and the rest of the gun-hating Democrats on that. Oh, well, we had him in here. Well, we can say we did, but here's what we're going to do anyway. They are not interested in hearing the facts from this man. They don't care, which is proof positive, John, that to me it's all propaganda and it's purely partisan agenda driven, is it not?
Yeah, they're just trying to stir up controversy.
His conversation here concerned me for a number of reasons. I've had many conversations with John, and you could hear the sense of urgency in his voice, I guess, as a way to describe how he sounded relative to, you know, how dangerous he feels the direction we're heading in is. Is that how would you describe what you heard?
Well, you know, I think you've said he tends to give others a benefit of the doubt over their collection of data and their interpretation of it. But, you know, he was pretty clear, you know, they just basically took their data and then just turned it into whatever they wanted it to be.
The Tampa Times went after it. And again, this is not unusual. And this is where John will give the benefit of the doubt that you refer to. The Tampa Times, when they did this, went at this to look for a so that they could push a partisan agenda to prove why their point that they don't like Stand Your Ground, when in reality the findings were far different. And although they spun it a particular way in the newspaper, we'll go into some of those things that they some of the data that they came up with in just a few minutes, maybe next segment. But John found by digging deeper that they were in fact wrong. And as you heard him say, there is no way the folks who did the study couldn't have known those things. And when you hear that, now you know. And his response to my question is this all they're trying to do is muck this up to push this agenda? And that's what concerned me when he said, you can hear the frustration, yeah, and the concern at the same time. I'm afraid that's right. I don't take statements like that from John Lott lightly. When you are, if you've read his work, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to ask you again to read particularly the third edition. Get all three. These are heavy reads. These are intense reads. But if you cherish your right to keep and bear arms, they're must reads. These books belong on your shelf. Pick them up on Kindle. Pick them up on Amazon. The Nook, whatever you do, the Nook from Barnes & Noble, whoever it is, buy the hard copies of More Guns, Less Crime, now in its third edition, Understanding Crime and Gun Control Laws. And I'm going to read one of the blurbs, one of the endorsements from inside the cover of the third edition. John Lott has done the most extensive, thorough, and sophisticated study we have on the effects of loosening gun control laws. Regardless of whether one agrees with his conclusions, his work is mandatory reading for anyone who is open-minded and serious about the gun control issue. Especially fascinating is his account of the often unscrupulous reactions to his research by gun control advocates, academic critics, and the news media. That's from Gary Kleck, oft cited on this show and many others, professor of criminology and criminal justice at Florida State University. Gary Kleck is a committed left-wing liberal guy. And John Monroe, you may know that Gary Kleck is the individual who gave us the infamous number in his study from the mid-90s that found a defensive gun use on average of 2.5 million times across America. By good guys with guns versus bad guys. Ladies and gentlemen, if you break that number down, it comes out to approximately 5,000 defensive gun uses per day in this country. That was from the mid-90s. I would submit to you that that number is higher now. Gary Kleck is a committed left-wing guy. He went into this to do the study, and he reported his findings. He didn't report his findings from a biased position. So to hear him say, especially fascinating is his account of the often unscrupulous reactions to his research by gun control advocates, academic critics, and the news media, is quite telling, coming from a colleague, particularly one who is committed left and reported honestly his findings on defensive gun uses in this country. And incidentally, he found that in those 2.5 million cases, that the gun, 95% of the time, John, was never fired.
Yep.
And that was the case in mine, too. I became a statistic. I became one of those 2.5 million where I was able to show my firearm and the commission of a potential crime against me without having to fire a shot. And I'll have that debate with anybody. But interestingly, too, and I want to pick this out because we talk a little bit about Pierce Morgan on this show.
I'm one of those statistics, too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. You are. You want to tell us what happened real quick?
Actually, I was driving in Florida and I was stopped at a stoplight. It was summer. I was younger, didn't have a car that had air conditioning, so my windows were down, and I stopped at a stoplight. Someone came up to the passenger door and opened the door and started getting in the car. And I picked up a revolver I had in my car and pointed at him, and he
fled.
He went in the opposite direction from coming into the car.
He no longer wanted to get in the car, and you never had to fire a shot.
Yeah.
Let me go back to Gary Kleck again. Regardless of whether one agrees with his conclusions, his work is mandatory reading for anyone who is open-minded and serious, more importantly than any of those other descriptions, serious about the gun control issue. This is why I would ask those of my colleagues on this side of the aisle regarding gun control to just give up on Pierce Morgan. This man is not serious, he's not open-minded, and he's not interested in having a debate. Therefore, quit giving him airtime. Quit giving this guy ratings by going on the show. And John Lott has been a frequent guest on Pierce Morgan. Pierce Morgan is not interested in having a serious, open-minded discussion. He is interested in making John Lott, or attempting to make John Lott, look silly on his program in an attempt to garner ratings.
So far unsuccessfully.
So far unsuccessfully. You're absolutely correct. His ratings are still in the toilet. But my argument there was bolstered this just a couple days ago when Sean Hannity sent a little notice to Ed Schultz over at MSNBC and said, absolutely not will I go on your show, or will I appear with you or talk to you or debate you ever. Give it up. I won't help your ratings. So mad props to Sean Hannity there. When we come back, we're going to play some of John Lott's testimony after this.
They're in my house. Where are you guys?
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Walters here to tell you about three powerful DVDs for your personal firearms defense training. The Personal Defense Video Series presents the new standards of essential training you need to help protect yourself and your family. You'll discover the most effective strategies from Rob Pincus and the Personal Defense Network instructors. In these DVDs, they'll demonstrate advanced pistol handling techniques, including 360-degree presentation from a holster and a great technique for reloading during a critical incident. You'll also discover home defense tips, like tactical movement throughout your house, and in defensive firearms use in public, discover some realistic scenarios that reveal how you should react to such things as distractions and shooting in defense of others. To order this powerful 3-DVD set for 50% off the everyday price, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com right now. You'll receive your 3 DVDs for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Go to armedamericandvdoffer.com. armedamericandvdoffer.com. Do it now.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was young and naive, and I found myself with $11,000 of credit card debt, 9 credit cards, and nothing to show for it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
And I ended up calling, and the lady on the phone was so nice. And it was really humbling because no one really knows what your financial situation is like. You have to open those doors.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They gave me the right perspective, and they got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
The following segment of AAR is being sponsored by G-Code Holsters. To wear what the ogre wears, visit tacticalholsters.com. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. That is a beautiful thing. You are listening to the third most listened to talk radio program in the nation right now. That old Rush Limbaugh. It's tough to even beat his reruns, his repeats. Yeah, you laughing. But it's nice to see my mug ahead of Glenn Beck's mug. There you go, Glenn. Take that.
Oh, see.
See, we're talking about guns. We're not talking about Obamacare. If you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan. If you have a doctor, you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Here's what I got to say about that. Hey, thanks a lot, Obama, for telling me that I can keep the doctor I want. And for telling me that I can keep a product that I want. Wow, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I want you to think about this. You heard it here. John said it. This is an upside-down world. It literally is an upside-down world. Would you agree with that, John Monroe, in the studio here with me?
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy anymore. And I go back to the mainstream media with on this because, you know, perception, people's perception is reality. For the most part.
Yeah.
particularly if you're an emotional, if you're basing your decision-making processes on emotion rather than facts and not thinking, then perception is reality. And the media understands this, and they can shape that perception, thereby shaping people's reality, because they know that they're dealing with and playing to this lowest common denominator of people who are incapable or unwilling to think.
They can't think.
Well, whether they, you know, all people can, they choose not to. And when they act on emotion, and this is what these hearings are about. I think that's where John Lott was going with that. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That they are playing to your emotions? That's what I mean by mucking this all up to try to push this agenda.
Well, they bring out cases and talk about the facts with their spin on them that make it sound like the whole self-defense, stand right. your ground thing isn't being applied fairly or correctly.
But they're successful in that because of the power. When they've got three networks pushing that same agenda and an emotional, you can't say an emotional thinker, a feeler, right, Sean?
Well, yeah. Well, here's
a butterfly. We'll call him a butterfly. When a butterfly sees the same thing on ABC, NBC, and CBS, and that's all they're watching,
yeah.
or they flip to CNN and then flip over to MSNBC because they wouldn't dare watch Fox News, they see the same thing. That perception becomes reality. And the mainstream media is very well aware of this. This goes back to Germany in the 30s. Control the mess, control the media, control the message, control the message. Control the people. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is the definition, the classic definition of propaganda, and they know what they're doing.
Mark.
Sean, go ahead.
This is why I said that people can't think, because if you think about it, the average person on MSNBC doesn't even live in a neighborhood where he has to have a gun. But your people that are listening and watching him think, oh, yeah, this guy's, he's one of us. And that's
Well, I can say the same thing about, you know, I don't know. You know, does Bill O'Reilly live in a neighborhood? He's probably got a gate in front of his house. If I'm making $37 million a year plus gazillions on books, I'm going to at least build a wrought iron fence.
Yeah, but see, he can't play that trick on conservatives because conservatives can think. There's a difference.
Okay, all right. Well, you have a great point there. Let's go to John Lott's. Sean, can you cue up his testimony? I want to play his testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, think about what you hear right now. This is John Lott in front of the U.S. Senate.
Our next witness is John Lott. Mr. Lott is the president of a newly formed organization, the Crime Prevention Research Center. He previously served in research or a teaching position at the University of Chicago and Yale, among other schools. He was the chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission from 1988 to 1990. He's currently a weekly columnist and contributor for FoxNews.com. He received his Ph.D. in economics from UCLA. Mr. Lott, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairman Durbin and Ranking Member Cruz and other distinguished members. Stand your ground laws help people. Oh, I apologize. Thank you very much for being here. Stand your ground laws will help people be able to defend themselves. It's the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, primarily poor blacks, who benefit the most from having the option to be able to protect themselves. What's been lost in part of this discussion so far is the reason why states have adopted these laws. Requiring people to retreat as far as possible creates confusion, creates doubt, and can make it more difficult for people to be able to go and defend themselves. In Florida, blacks made up about 16% of the population, but they account for 31% of the state's defendants invoking stand your ground laws. Black defendants who invoke the statute justify their actions are actually acquitted almost 8 percentage points more often than whites. The Tampa Bay Tribune has put together very detailed data on stand your ground cases. Up through July 24th of this year, from beginning of 2006, the newspaper had collected 112 cases. The information that they had that often constitutes their shocking finding is that 72% of those who killed a black person faced no penalty, compared to 59% of those who killed a white person. 80% of those who killed Hispanics were also not convicted. What one needs to remember, however, in this is that the vast majority of these crimes are within race. So, for example, 90% of blacks who were killed in Stand Your Ground cases who invoked Stand Your Ground were killed by other blacks. In the case of whites, it was 85%. In the case of Hispanics, it was 100%. The basic point is that if you're going to concentrate on the fact that relatively few people who kill blacks are going to be convicted using stand your ground defenses. You have to realize that almost all those people who aren't being convicted are blacks. 69% of blacks who raised the stand your ground defense were not convicted. That compares to a little bit less than 62% for whites. 80% of Hispanics who raised the stand your ground defense are not convicted. If blacks are supposedly being discriminated against because their killers so often are not facing any penalty, wouldn't it also follow that blacks are being discriminated in favor of when blacks who claim self-defense under the stand your ground law are convicted at much lower rates than other racial groups? The problem also is not all these cases are the same. Blacks are killed in confrontations where 13 percentage points more likely to be armed than whites. By 43 to 16% margin, blacks killed, again by killed by other blacks, were also more often in the process of committing another crime. They also were involved in cases where it's much more likely to have a witness present. If you go and run regressions where you try to account for all the factors that are brought up in the Tampa Bay Tribune data set, what you find is that white defendants are more likely to be convicted by black defendants, and people invoking stand your ground laws who kill blacks were also more likely to be convicted than those who killed whites. What you find when you look at it, and fortunately this is the case, the people who initiated the confrontation were more likely to be convicted. And when there were eyewitnesses, they were less likely to be convicted. Armed individuals, and when more than one person was killed, also were much more likely to result in convictions. The Urban Institute report that was brought up earlier, I think, actually shows the opposite of what has been quoted here. One of the important things just to mention, John Roman, who wrote this, noted, stand your ground laws appears to exacerbate, well, he said they appear to exacerbate racial differences, but he acknowledges his data lacks details available in the Tampa Bay Tribune data. Quote, the data here cannot completely address this problem because the setting of the incident cannot be observed. And if you go through his paper, what you find, he has no data, no information on whether an eyewitness saw the confrontation, no evidence on, no data on whether there was a physical evidence. He has no evidence on a whole range of things in order to try to factor those into account. The big thing, if you look at his study, the central finding is to look at Table 3. And what you find is that when blacks are under stand your ground laws, their situation in terms of conviction rates actually fall. If you look at the Texas A&M study that was mentioned, they do not account for any other gun control laws. If you're going to look at stand your ground laws, whether you have right to carry, the number of people who have permits is going to be important. And when you account for those things, their results disappear. If you're talking about castle doctrines, whether people are able to get quick access to guns is going to be important. And again, nothing about gun lock or safe storage laws are accounted for in those studies. And when you do that, their results also disappear.
All right, you can stop it right there, Sean. When we come back from this break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the Tampa Times study where a lot of this information was gleaned from. And I'm going to give you some statistics. Did the victim initiate the confrontation? Was the victim armed? Was the victim committing a crime that led to the confrontation? It's fascinating. And we'll break it down with John Monroe when we come back right after this.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says The Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
The Ruger LC380 is the perfect pairing of the award-winning LC9 pistol and the popular 380 auto cartridge. The LC380 is the same size as the LC9, yet offers reduced recoil, making it Ruger's lightest recoiling personal protection pistol yet. It features a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, 7-round magazine and finger grip extension floor plate, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The Ruger LC380. Another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean, a.k.a. Shanto, A-A-R Shanto. You can now check out my new website, which is irfnews.com, irfnews.com. There you can see all the stuff we do here in the studio, also read some of my blogs, and I'm going to have news feeds and everything else you are interested in. So all you got to do is go to irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com. Oh, yeah, I think Mark's listening. Remember, irfnews.com.
Hear previous broadcasts of Armed American Radio and join the blog discussion at armedamericanradio.com or on Facebook at Armed American Radio. Terry Cann, Mark Walters.
Welcome back. Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom across the nation, live in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. The Crossbreed Holster Studios, that's a beautiful thing. I want to thank John Lott for not only his appearance on the show today, but for the testimony that he gave. And in the face of what you heard when I read the little blurb from his book, he catches a lot of heat. John Monroe here in the studio with me, he catches a lot of heat from other academians who just can't stand this stuff because of their own personal bias towards guns. They've never studied it for 30 years like he did. They just don't like his findings, so they attack him personally. He puts up with a lot of heat.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes a lot to stand up, but when he has the facts on his side, he'll go to any venue that wants him and speak facts to anybody. Interestingly, where he got most of that information from this was from a study that the Tampa Bay Times did. And the Tampa Bay Times, rabidly anti-gun, St. Pete Times, did a very comprehensive study, but they did it from the basis of trying to bolster their gun-hating agenda, quite frankly. And John Lott picked them apart, ate their lunch. Here's some of the statistics that they found. This is coming from the study. Did the victim initiate the confrontation? And let me go here. Trayvon Martin's death became controversial. This is quoting now from weighing the circumstances from the Tampa Bay Times. Quoting, Trayvon Martin's death became controversial because circumstances leading up to the shooting cast doubt on who was to blame. The Tampa Bay Times reviewed other Stand Your Ground cases for similar circumstances, ignoring the fact that Trayvon Martin, ladies and gentlemen's case, was not Stand Your Ground. Notice, John, they said the shooting cast doubt on who was to blame. Quoting again, the Tampa Bay Times reviewed other Stand Your Ground cases for similar circumstances. This was not a Stand Your Ground case to begin with. The Times relied on available information, some of which may not tell the whole story. When the situation was unclear, that was noted. And here's some of the information. Did the victim initiate the confrontation? Yes, in 104 cases. No, in 48. Unclear, disputed in 85 cases. Was the victim armed? 75 cases, yes. 160, no. 21 cases, unclear. Was the victim committing a crime that led to the confrontation? 51 cases, yes. 190 cases, no. 21 cases, unclear. Did the defendant pursue the victim? 70 cases, yes. 119 cases, no. 48 cases, unclear. Could the defendant have retreated to avoid the conflict? 135 cases, 36, yes. 36 cases, no. Unclear and disputed, 66 cases. Now, I'd like to know where they were able to derive that information, do you think, on whether or not they could be retreated. Again, it doesn't say.
Yeah, I mean, if it went to trial, then if it was a Stand Your Ground case, then the duty to retreat didn't exist, and there would have been no jury question of whether somebody could have retreated.
Right, so a little dubious there. I don't know how they came up with that. Was the defendant...
It's also dubious. Why are they calling somebody a victim?
Well, there's a lot we could break down here, and John did a masterful job of that in front of the Senate. Was the defendant on his or her property? 69 cases, yes. 168 cases, no. Zero cases, undisputed. Clearly, 69 cases on your property. Now, that goes back to what? The old castle doctrine, where stand your ground what? That is the basis of stand your ground. We all know that a man's home is his castle, period, correct?
Well, kind of. I mean, the bottom line is in most states, when you're talking about no duty to retreat or stand your ground or whatever you're calling it, they almost always deal with when you're in a place besides your home, your automobile, or your place of business.
Okay, 168 cases, no. It doesn't say where those occurred. It doesn't say if it was a case like mine where I was out on the street at a traffic light. It doesn't mention that. So did someone witness the attack, as John said? In 154 cases, yes. 58 cases, no. 25 cases in question. Was there physical evidence? 127 cases, yes. 13 cases, no.
I don't even know what that means.
What, some type of physical evidence. It doesn't break that down, I'm assuming. I hate to do that. But the assumption would be, was there physical evidence, something like shell casings, physical evidence being some form of DNA, something there, of course, and there clearly was.
Were these all cases where someone was actually shot?
Yeah, these were actual cases in Florida. But
were they actual shootings? Or?
Yeah, and this is where the standard ground
just
case.
Pulling out a gun and...
No, these were actual cases of stand your ground. These were actual stand your ground cases. And the other side of that, you can go through and actually click on each photo. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see this, it's fascinating. TampaBay.com/stand-your-ground-law.
Because stand your ground applies to more than just killing somebody, shooting somebody. It can be as much or as little as just displaying a gun to
correct.
Stop an attack.
Correct.
And
that can also be stand your ground.
You could be charged for something on the order of aggravated assault, and you could use stand your ground as a defense to that.
Correct. And we've got enough time. We'll go into one of these. Here was about the case. The accused, a gentleman by the name of Damon Red Rock Darling, 21, black male, was found guilty. Leroy Yellowman LaRose. So we got Damon Red Rock Darling and Leroy Yellowman LaRose. Sean, you're laughing. 28-year-old black male. He took a plea. Here's what happened, according to the Tampa Bay. In July 1st, 2006, Miami-Dade County, 9-year-old Sherdavia Jenkins was caught in the crossfire of a gunfight between two men that was possibly over drugs. The shooters were about 50 yards away from Jenkins, who was playing with a doll near the porch of her house. Darling said he feared LaRose would shoot. Let me get back over here. There we go. Said he feared LaRose would pull a gun on him, so he pulled his gun first, but was acting in self-defense.
Now, from 50 yards away?
From 50 yards away, and these were two men involved in apparently a drug deal, and we know that it can't be invoked. So what happened? It worked. He invoked it. He was found guilty. Clearly, there was no stand your ground invoked at all. tried to, but it was not not allowed. And Leroy Yellowman LaRose pled to the crime. So both men were guilty. Both men pled guilty. So this goes through each individual, and there's a photograph of the quote-unquote victim, however they define the victim in the Tampa Bay Tribune study or the Tampa Bay Times study. And you can go in and you can hover over it and watch it. But it's a fascinating study. 150-some cases were looked at, over 150-some cases were looked at from the information that they had at the time. And John Lott literally dissected it in front of the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
So, Sean, you want to chime in there anywhere?
Oh, no, you're doing just great.
Do you want to talk about Red Man and Yellow Boy or whatever their names are? What's up with that, Sean?
Yeah, when the first time when you said that, I just knew. Well, I can't say I knew. It just, I don't know.
No, you do.
Well, you know, like I said before, where are the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons when you hear something like this? Why don't they explain what's going on here? You know, why is this guy pulling guns and shooting him? These people have no regard for any life around them. It's all about their stuff and what they're doing.
Well, here we have one, Jorge Saavedra, 14 years old, white male, granted immunity. What happened January 24th, 2011, Golden Gates Estates down in Collier County. That's just outside of Naples. Jorge Saavedra, 14, fatally stabbed Dylan Nuno, 16, at a school bus stop. Saavedra had gotten off the bus early trying to avoid a fight. Testimony showed Nuno bullied him and teased him. He was trying to get away. He was attacked. He used a knife, stabbed the attacker 12 times, and he was granted immunity. I don't know. It's complicated. God bless guys like John Lott who can go in and dissect this stuff from an economic standpoint, a criminology standpoint, and give us the facts of these cases, 30 years of this stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Mark Walters. You've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to talk with George Hill, the Mad Ogre. George's famous statement is, if you have a gun, you can keep your gun. He just texted to me. Carry on, carry often, and carry everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. We'll be back after this.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in here.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and improve your credit score. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-936-5496. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call now. Or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
Trinity.
1-800-936-5496.
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. Hugh Hewitt here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ursop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ursop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.